The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz. Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. We're thrilled to have another episode today, healing your health and turning you into the superwoman you want to be. Joining me today is Dr. Susan Blum. Dr. Blum is a pioneer in functional medicine. She's been treating and healing chronic diseases for almost two decades. She's the author of the Immune System Recovery Plan and Healing Arthritis, and the founder of the Blum Center for Health in Rybrook, New York. She has lots of online options and education available at blumhealthmd.com, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. Welcome, Dr. Blum.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we are always excited to have great experts like you on the show, and I know that one area of focus for you is autoimmune diseases, gut health, and sort of the connection between those two.
Yep.
I'm a little bit curious about your journey, how it led to maybe the Immune System Recovery Plan, which is your book, and kind of your emphasis on this particular area.
Yeah, well, like a lot of, we have this joke, and whenever I'm with my colleagues in the field of integrative and functional medicine and I'm giving a talk or something, I always say, how many of you in the audience have your own journey, you know, have your own health experience that brought you to this field? And pretty much unanimously, everybody raises their hand. So I think that, And so for those of us clinicians who came of age in conventional medicine like I did, so I came through conventional training, but then I had a health issue myself, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune condition of the thyroid gland. And autoimmune means that your immune system is attacking your own tissue rather than looking to attack just foreigners or invaders, right? So we need to have a really strong and robust immune system. It's supposed to protect us from foreign infections or toxins or invaders. And then it's supposed to, after it does its job, it's supposed to turn off and be done, right? And everything's good.
Correct.
And we go back to balance. But
right.
In an autoimmune condition, the immune system sort of turns on, and maybe it gets turned on for another reason, like an infection, but it doesn't turn off, and it continues to attack a tissue in your body. And for me, it was my thyroid. And so I had just finished doing some training with the Institute for Functional Medicine right at the time that I had developed my thyroid condition. And it really set me on the path to figure out why. You know, I wanted to know, why do I have it? It wasn't enough for me to just, take a pill, which is what
most people
are told.
Yes, absolutely. And you're so lucky in some respect that you were studying some of this functional medicine, you know, literature that's out there and this sort of new way of thinking as you were getting diagnosed. Because I know for many people, including myself, you know, my particular journey was having a condition and not knowing where to go and stumbling into this world sort of unexpectedly, you know, to try to find answers. When you look back, how old were you, by the way, when you got diagnosed with Hashimoto's? I'm just curious.
Yeah, right. I was about 39, right?
39.
Around the time before I was turning 40, you know, in that sort of age range. And that's when I was diagnosed, and it's interesting because I'm board certified in the field of preventive medicine, so I was always very mm-hmm. interested in lifestyle and stress and nutrition and understanding those influences on health and what to do about it. And when I was sort of in practice, I was already feeling unsettled and unhappy with, you know, the conventional approach to things. And so I was at the very beginning of studying, and it's funny because I kept this notebook, and for some reason I said to myself, write down everything you do because you're going to want to look back on this. And I ended up incorporating this into my story that I wrote about myself in the first book. You know, and I went to see everybody. I went to see, you know, I did acupuncture. I did homeopathy. I did, I did eat for your blood type. I did dark field microscopy. These are just all these different. I went to integrative people. I went to a naturopath, you know, and I started mm-hmm. with who identified me as having heavy metals and high mercury, and did a stool test and told me my gut wasn't good. And so the naturopath sort of opened my eyes to, they're sort of the field that really predated functional medicine. And then we sort of took a lot of that into the field of functional medicine and ran with it, you know, and so. When I went and did my functional medicine studies, I said, okay, I'm going to try this now, and I'm going to do this whole process on myself, and I got better. And so that was it. I was sold, and I knew that functional medicine was sort of the way I wanted to practice medicine, you know, going forward. So
I know. I always say it's hard to turn back. Once you've bitten the apple, then you never want to go back to practicing medicine in any other way.
Exactly.
If you look back on your particular journey, you know, and I do want to talk a little bit more about autoimmunity in just a minute in general, but just, you know, just thinking about your journey, could you summarize it? What were the main triggers for you? What do you think led you into that world of autoimmunity and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which, you know, I have a ton of patients and so many women today end up with that diagnosis?
Right. And so for me, I think it was a combination of two things for sure. I was a gut person. You know, when you take a history for somebody, right, if somebody tells you this story, you know, immediately can tell if they're a quote-unquote gut person or not, if they've had lifelong digestive issues. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, I had an upper GI series because I had stomach aches. And when I was doing my medical training, my internship, I got scoped with an endoscopy because I had, like, a pre-ulcer, right? So I always had digestive stuff going on. I think that's where I always held my stress. And so it affected my microbiome. So I had a lot of gut healing to do. It was definitely a big driver for me, as well as my mercury levels were very, very high. And so, you know, I had a lot of silver fillings as a child, tons of cavities. So I had terrible, you know, silver fillings, and I was eating a lot of fish thinking it was the right thing to do. And when I, you know, looked at my mercury levels, they were really, really high. And it actually took me a while to get all my mercury out because the detox made me feel so sick whenever I would try to start because I just had so much of it, you know, that I had to be very gentle in the way that I approached it. But eventually I did get all my mercury out and I healed my gut, you know, well enough so that my immune system, I say well enough because I think gut health is a lifelong journey. I think we always have to be proactively maintaining our gut health. So it's not like, bam, you fix it once and you're done. You know, it's like, okay,
it's
now we want to maintain and keep our gut healthy, you know. So for me, that's a lifelong, I think, process.
Definitely. So you healed yourself, I'm assuming. Sounds like a lot of it had to do with your digestive health. And then as somebody who also has an integrative practice, you know, for a while I was joking that I was running a rheumatology clinic. And then I realized I wasn't really running a rheumatology clinic. I was running a GI clinic. But obviously the two are connected. So, you know, talk us through that connection. What have you discovered in your experience? You know I have my own take on it. But talk us through kind of what you've seen and where you've landed in this whole basic tenet that gut health determines, you know, the immune system and the inflammatory system. Talk us through that a little bit. You know, we're just curious to see how you approach it.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, how I approach it is probably a little different than you, how you approach it. But at the base of it, I think we all have the same goals and understanding. And this is where it becomes the art of medicine, right? Because this isn't an algorithm. I mean, we all generally know what we want to do, and then we all might do it a little differently. So I'm happy to share sort of my view and what I've learned over these years of doing it. So let's just talk about what the gut is, right? The gut is, when we call it the gut, you know, the small and large intestine are where most of the microbes live, those 100 trillion bacteria that are our friends, right? They line the intestinal lining is covered with all these bacteria. About 90% of them live in the large intestine, 10% in the small intestine, unless you have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or overgrowth in the small bowel, and then that might be different. But in the normal circumstances, the majority of these bacteria are supposed to live in the large intestine. And when you eat food, and the bacteria function to do all sorts of wonderful things for us. When you eat food, they ferment the food and they make something called short-chain fatty acids, you know, especially foods with fiber and polyphenols and flavonoids like color. They actually take these really good nutrients from your whole foods diet and they process them and create other substances that keep our intestinal lining really strong. So they make, for example, butyrate, which is a compound, it's a short-chain fatty acid that helps keep the barrier function good. So let me talk about that for a second. So you, in a healthy gut, you have all these good bacteria in there, and I liken that to sort of, you know, it's a very simplistic view, but maybe think of it like your inner garden, and you want it to be, you have a lot of flowers and color, and there are always weeds in the garden that want to take over, but a healthy garden is going to keep the weeds from overgrowing, right? So the first thing is you want to have very little weeds and a lot of flowers, and that's those bacteria. And so the microbes really help us in many ways. But in addition to the microbes, one of the things they do is they help keep the barrier function good. And there's something called the intestinal lining or the barrier of the intestines, and it's really the wall of the intestines that are basically are supposed to have a function of keeping the outside world out, right, and deciding what comes in and what doesn't. And there are little gates along the way because we do let some things in, and sometimes the immune cells come out to protect us from things, so there's some in and out. But in general, you're supposed to really have a barrier there so that we protect ourselves, especially from all those bacteria. The good bacteria that are in our gut don't belong in our body because they will trigger an immune response if the body sort of sees all those bacteria. So there's supposed to be a wall between the two. Now, there are circumstances where that barrier breaks down, and that's sort of our sort of basic understanding, or how you define what a leaky gut, you know, which most people know about, and I'm sure you talk to people about that all day long as well.
Definitely.
And so the leaky gut, which is where you have increased permeability of the intestinal lining, that's really where a lot of the research has been done on understanding how people develop inflammation in distant parts outside of the gut, right? Because there's sort of leakage through the wall of the intestines of things called endotoxins, which are sort of the cell walls of those bacteria. Sometimes little food particles sneak through there and trigger food sensitivity reactions. And you can end up with, because the immune system is right underneath that lining waiting to protect you, and it gets triggered by all these things. And this is one of the mechanisms that we understand can be one of those triggers for autoimmunity, or at least certainly where the immune system doesn't function right. And the reason why that happens is because the thing we love to say is that 70% of your immune system lives in your gut. And what that means is that right under the intestinal lining, there are clusters of immune tissue called lymphoid tissue. And it's where your little baby immune cells are waiting to grow, waiting to be triggered to action. It's sort of like an army base. You know, you have your military is all at these army bases waiting to see if they're needed somewhere. And so what happens is the good bacteria in your gut can communicate with these lymphoid tissues to keep what they call your T regulator cells, which are the immune cells that keep peace. You know, they keep everything, you know, in balance, and they're toned and kept healthy by the bacteria in your gut and the butyrate and the compounds they make. And there's a nice little balance going on. But if you have a problem with the bacteria in your gut, where you have overgrowth of harmful microbes or overgrowth of yeast like candida, you know, you can end up with a leaky gut and triggering of the immune system and the army bases that are there, and you can end up with a faulty sort of what called T regulator cells. They just won't develop right and they don't work right. And T regulator cells are responsible for, you know, we all have an immune response. We respond to something, but then when the emergency is over, it's supposed to turn off. However, in autoimmunity, one of the things that happens is we might have a normal immune response to something, but we are unable to turn it off. And it goes on and on and on and on. And that is thought to be a problem with those T regulator cells. And so that's why, and because the T regulator cells develop, most of them, in the gut, that's why the gut's so important. It's one of the reasons. That's a
chunk. So I'm going to break it down for our listeners just so that they got the most critical things that she said. And that was essentially, you know, small intestine, large intestine, the majority of our gut bacteria live there. You know, the minute we have insults, and in Dr. Blum's case, it was heavy metals, and she may have had other triggers as well, but, you know, heavy metals was a big one. Stress, heavy metals, you know, all the other things going through med school probably. But, you know, you take enough insults and the integrity of your intestinal lining, you know, starts to break down. You set up the cycle of inflammation. You have an activation of the immune response, and it's supposed to shut off and do kind of, you know, it's done its job, it's supposed to go back to sleep essentially, but it doesn't. And that essentially is what creates an autoimmune disease. It starts the cycle of inflammation, which then leads to things like Hashimoto's and even arthritis. Now, with these autoimmune conditions and even with yours, did you use an elimination diet to, you know, heal yourself?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's all different versions of elimination diets out there. You probably have one version you use, and I tend to use just to begin with people, I tend to use just the basic elimination diet, which are the foods that are the highest in, the most well-known for causing sort of inflammation, which is just the gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, and then those are the top five is where we always start, and then we add things. I mean, of course, I just want to clarify for one second. I want to go back to the term elimination diet. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of confusion for people about what we're really doing. You know, why do an elimination diet? Is it part of the treatment plan? Is it part of the testing? You know, I think elimination diets serve a couple of purposes. First of all, you need to think of it as a two-step process, right? It's you're going to remove some foods to see if you feel better, and then you're going to reintroduce them again at some point to decide if you have any sensitivities to any of those foods and if they trigger symptoms. And so that's
How long is an elimination diet? I mean, I get asked this all the time. You know, when people do that, I have a lot of people that say, "Oh, I eliminated dairy, you know, for 3 days, or I did it for a week." What is the length of time needed to really take one of these proteins out that might be irritating the gut or causing leaky gut? What's the true length of time to eliminate and then reintroduce?
Well, the minimum for me is 3 weeks. And here's the thing.
That's exactly what I say.
And there's a negotiation, right? People say, well, can I just do gluten or can I just do dairy? And here's the thing. And I love the saying is that, you know, there's the rule of tax, right? If you're sitting on a tax, this is functional medicine, right, or integrated. You know, we're looking for the cause of illness. So if you're sitting on a tax, the answer is the solution is to find that tax and remove it. And then you'll feel better. But if you're sitting on three tacks, which, let's say, food is triggering inflammation for you, and you're sitting on, and there are three foods, and you're sitting on three tacks. If you take one out, you're not going to know that it's causing you any problems because you still have the pain. You didn't get rid of the pain. And so in order to really, and so that's my sort of moral of the story about why you have to remove all the foods at once, because you need to remove all the tacks at the same time and then reintroduce them slowly. You know, people say, well, how are you going to know which one is a trigger then if I'm removing all of them? And mm-hmm. the answer is if you remove them all and you feel better, that's great. And now we're going to collect the data. The way we really find out, you know, what's going on is we're going to reintroduce them every 3 days. You're going to test yourself by introducing a new one. And you're going to see which food or if there's a food that's triggering your joint pain, you know, which is triggering your digestive symptoms or it's triggering your headaches, you know, and it could be any symptom whatsoever.
Yeah. And so just for our listeners again, so ideally, if you're going to do an elimination diet, it's 3 weeks. She, you know, Dr. Blum mentioned the top five, which are gluten, dairy, soy, corn, you know, sugar. I don't know. We'll talk a minute about nightshade and oxalates and where you feel like those fit in. But,
oh, yeah. Well,
you know,
yes, we will.
And there's more. There's more.
Yeah.
Right. But those are probably the top five. So truly eliminating them for 3 weeks and then reintroducing one at a time in 3-day intervals is the real essence of an elimination diet. And upon reintroduction, looking for those symptoms, looking for symptoms like a change in digestive function, a change in energy, joint pain, rashes, what comes back when you introduce these foods. And although there's so many great tests out there that even we in the practice use, you know, the gold standard, I think, to this day is still the elimination diet and really trying to understand this and understand, you know, what's happening and what's triggering potentially your leaky gut. Now, the elimination diet, Dr. Blum, is definitely a part of recovering, you know, or healing an autoimmune disease. But in your immune system recovery plan, you know, is there more to, you know, maybe walk us through the additional steps that are needed?
Yeah, exactly. And I also want to, the immune system recovery plan is basically four steps. Food is using food as medicine. And so this is sort of what we're talking about is figuring out which foods you might be sensitive to and removing them. In autoimmunity, anyone with an autoimmune condition needs to be on a gluten-free diet, so that's non-negotiable for pretty much any of us who work with autoimmune.
Wait, we got to repeat that. You have to repeat that. So
okay.
Being
on a gluten-free diet is non-negotiable. You have to remove gluten from your diet. Gluten is a known trigger for autoimmunity. You know, it causes celiac disease, as we know. But celiac disease is only one way that gluten can come into the body and wreak havoc. It damages the gut, and it's really required in anyone in my practice has to adopt a gluten-free diet as part of their autoimmune healing process. And this is a long a long, this is at least, well, here's the thing. It depends. I'm not 100% absolute that it's going to be for the rest of your life unless you have celiac disease or really severe autoimmune conditions. Some people can reintroduce it in very, like, randomly on occasion, like once a month or, you know, on, occasional gluten. Like after a year or two, after the gut is completely healed. And sometimes
okay,
it takes
so,
1 to 2 years to heal the gut. So should we repeat
yeah.
that?
Well, I was before all the listeners disconnect from us, you know, we want them to understand that, you know, gluten is one of the most inflammatory proteins. If you have an autoimmune disease, it is honestly non-negotiable. I've struggled with so many patients doing 20,000 things.
Yes.
When really the one thing they need to do is to eliminate gluten to heal their
yes.
particular autoimmune condition. So please don't walk away from what we're saying. We promise that it's something that, you know, really does help cure inflammation and hopefully helps.
It really does.
Of
course, I was just, you know, so many people ask me, am I gluten-free forever? And that, we don't need to answer that question right now, but for now, it's absolutely 100% non-negotiable that you're gluten-free, and it's going to be years, you know, so it is, because it takes a while, depending on what kind of autoimmune disease you have and how bad your gut damage is, you know, for your gut to heal and for everything to heal. And then, you know, I advocate a gluten-free diet really lifelong for anybody with an autoimmune disease is, I think, where we could all agree. And so let's just stay with that, and that's fine.
Perfect.
So,
I do have to ask one more quick question,
yeah.
and then we'll get off gluten. But I don't know if you saw that recent article. I think it was in the New York Times that said a gluten-free diet is bad for your health unless you have celiac. Did you happen to read that?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
Yeah, well, we get people calling us, right, all the time when these things happen. And so here's the thing, you know, they did not control for what those people were eating, you know, instead, or whether they were eating gluten-free, you know, sugar. You know, you can go
right.
on a gluten-free diet and eat a really bad gluten-free
high
diet.
High sugar, yeah.
And so,
yes.
yeah, if you're not controlling, you know, when we're talking about, and this is why, actually, what I've become really an advocate for is, when I think about the food plan and in my new book, Healing Arthritis, I really focus a lot on, I did a full, there's a whole section of the book that reviews all the different diets, what the research tells us about which diets are best for inflammation and for arthritis. And, and really when you do a thorough review of all food plans, what you learn is that people feel better a lot of times because it's the things that all the diets have in common, all the food plans. So, you get rid of the sugar and the flour and the, you know, it's my five guiding principles for choosing food. It's like, get rid of the sugar and the flour and the processed foods. Choose good quality fat, right? What fats are you eating? Get rid of the, you know, less animal and saturated fat and increase, and not even just that, it's the processed oils. It's the way oils are processed and vegetable oils and fried foods. Choosing really good quality fat. Choosing three is really good quality protein. What do you, the quality, you know, it's about the quality of the food. What are the animals? Where are they raised? You know, grass-fed, that kind of thing. And number four is choosing proactively, you know, all of that good stuff. You need good gut health supportive foods, you know, fiber and fruits and vegetables and whole foods. And then, of course, number five is always looking at all the preservatives in the food, cleaning up your diet, getting rid of all, you know, eating organic when you can. We all agree that these things are foundations. So when we say the elimination diet, this is the other piece. There's a quality piece. We teach people how to choose food, you know. And so, yes, we also, for the inflammatory reasons, we say let's do the elimination diet, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, in addition to addressing these basic important qualities because sugar is inflammatory, right? So we have to look at those just general quality and the wrong fats that you're consuming are inflammatory. So there are things like that that are important as well. We reintroduce all the foods, see what food you're sensitive to. People with autoimmune diseases aren't allowed to reintroduce gluten, although I let them test it if they want, just so they can see for themselves that it makes them feel crummy, and it always does.
So
moving off of food then. So that's my food. So the food is a lifelong, you know, it's really, there's no quick fixes here. This is the other thing that I think it's really important that people have to understand. And this is, you know, me also in the, you know, 15, 20 years that I've been doing this now, you know, I'm becoming more, okay, I'm working with people long term, like, you know, many, many years of working with people. And there's all this, you know, I'm excited and passionate about now is understanding how to have what's permanent change, like what's long-term health looks like. Because elimination diets and these strict sort of autoimmune programs, you know, autoimmune diets where you take everything out. You can eat like three food groups. You know, you can't live that way the rest of your life. And so you really, I think it's incumbent on us to help people understand that, you know, you do all that elimination diet, you work really hard on healing your gut, which is the other, that we'll call that our second step in the book. Healing the gut is critical, you know, because then once you heal your gut and you adopt a more gut-friendly way of eating, like, you're going to be able to open up your diet to eating a lot more foods again, right?
And absolutely. And so I think that, you know, for our listeners out there, hopefully you've understood the essence or the basics of an elimination diet and how powerful that is in terms of healing inflammation and also in healing gut health. And then if you listen to Dr. Blum, as she was kind of going through the critical steps, the majority of them have to do with food and really focusing on quality of food, the type of food, you know, understanding the role of sugar in inflammation. Dr. Blum, we just have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to maybe hammer in on what else in your immune system recovery plan do you really want our listeners to know, and what else do you really want them to walk away with, you know, as they listen to you when it comes to autoimmunity and inflammation and digestive health?
Yes. So what I want you to walk away, what I want the listeners to walk away with, if you're listening and you have any digestive symptoms, healing the gut. So in terms of the steps, healing the gut is really foundational for treating autoimmunity as well as arthritis, absolutely. But below, when you think about healing your gut, there's all sorts of treatment programs, and I have one on BlumHealthMD.com, and there's all sorts of other, you know, ways we could talk about how to heal your gut. But I want to just point out, and I want you to take this away, that lifestyle is what affects, how did your gut get out of balance in the first place? And what is going to keep your gut healthy in the long run? And this is food, yes. It's also stress. It's also the stress hormones. It's also cortisol, the stress hormone. It's the fight or flight response. It bathes the intestinal lining with hormones. And the nervous system has direct wires into the intestinal lining. And it will alter everything. And it'll change digestion. It'll reduce your stomach acid, which will change your bacteria. Stress is really, really important. And so, for long-term health, I can't tell you how many people, especially my arthritis people, because they have such obvious symptoms that they see right away, they have something traumatic. They're doing really well. Gut's doing great. The arthritis pain is gone. The hands feel great. And then something happens. You know, they have somebody, a family member dies, or somebody loses their job, or they have a terrible couple of months of severe stress, and they come back, and the gut is in terrible shape. They have gut symptoms again, and their joint pain's flaring. And so stress is really, really important, and we often just shrug or throw up our hands, oh, yeah, I got stressed.
I'm stressed.
You know, well, there's nothing I can do, but I'm here to tell you that it really has not only a direct effect on your immune system, but it affects your gut, and then therefore indirectly, it's probably one of the most powerful forces on your immune system via the gut, right, because it's that way as well as directly. So work on, understand the relationship you have with stress, get a handle on, I recommend you find something every day that's relaxing. Find a way to breathe every day. You know, just you have to, I really work very hard with everybody to really impress upon them the importance of this, right? And so, you know, we all know it, but really know it, you know, really believe it, you know? And so that's really important. And last but not least, we can't leave toxins as its own whole category. And, you know, toxins
that's probably another whole
podcast. It's another whole podcast, you know, discussion, right?
We'll have to bring you back for that one.
Yeah, you know, toxins are another whole thing. And so that's for another day. But there are toxins, especially mercury, but there's really good research and evidence about how toxins trigger autoimmunity. And so there's all about, you know, in my book, I talk all about how to assess yourself for toxins, how to clean up your world so you're not exposed to so many, and some simple steps to removing toxins from the body. And then last but not least, you know, infections are a big trigger for autoimmune disease, and especially like Epstein-Barr virus and things that, you know, should be just transient and our bodies should clear them out, but sometimes they don't. And so I look at infections as sort of a failure of the immune system to do its job well. And so I just keep circle back then and say, well, why isn't the immune system working well? Let's, you know, heal the immune system, and then the viruses will go, you know, we'll be able to put them
right.
treated.
So multiple reasons for autoimmunity,
yes.
But the core for all of our listeners, remember it's the gut, it's the food, it's the quality of the food, and most importantly, it's also stress. Until those basic life skills are mastered, I would say those are probably number one and two, then it's very difficult to master any autoimmune disease, and you also increase your risk for one. Dr. Blum, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. If you guys would like to learn more about Dr. Blum and her work, her website is Blum Health MD. Her books, she has the Immune System Recovery Plan, and her newer book, is that one already out, Dr. Blum,
no,
Healing Arthritis?
No, it's coming out in October, so we're in our final stages of releasing it, so it'll be out soon. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, keep your eye out for that one as well, and thank you so much for your time today. We obviously need to bring you back and talk more about autoimmunity and inflammation and the epidemic that is facing our country. Thanks again.